This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
You came for hurting people. Smiles on faces and pain inside. You call us to you and take our lives, then you give them back inside us. You warned it wasn't easy, it never is. Dreams get damaged, our strength gives. We call to you and claim your promises, 'cause you're turning us inside out. You call us to you and take our lives, then you give them back inside us. Well, you said that when we're weak, that's when we're strong, but that's hard to believe. You call us to you and take our lives, then you give them back inside out.
Our opening song, Inside Out, was sung there by Margaret Scott. As a child, I loved reading picture books about Greek mythology, but there was one story that I really didn't enjoy at all because it didn't have a happy ending, or so I thought. It was the story of Pandora's Box. As I remember it, it was about a young woman whose family had been given a special gift by a vengeful god, the gift of a beautifully ornate wooden box. The family had been warned never to accept gifts from the gods, and so everyone was told to keep away from it and never try to open it. As time went by, Pandora's curiosity got the better of her, and when no one else was around, she unlocked the box and raised the lid, intending just to peep in. But in doing so, she released evil and suffering into the world. A coloured illustration in that picture book captured her shock and horror as a mass of tiny, wicked, elf-like creatures flew swiftly up into the atmosphere, rather like something from the film The Green Mile, or I would imagine like the way viruses must break into our world when viewed through a microscope. Terrified, Pandora hastily closed the lid, but it was too late. The damage had been done. And unfortunately, in doing so, she sealed inside a little bright-eyed creature called Hope. So like some Greek Eve, along with Adam in the Garden of Eden, there was a price to pay for sin. In our Bible reading today, John the Baptist calls people to repent from their wrongdoing and disobedience, to turn right around and come back to God. But he also offers the people hope, saying that the Messiah was on his way and that every heart must be ready to receive him. Now, I for one have not put Christmas carols away in a drawer till next year. I don't think we get enough of them. So here's one that still very much fits our message today. It's sung by an a cappella group called Pentatonix, and it's called Joy to the World. In the first verse we hear these words, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing."
Joy to the world.
Today's reading is from Mark chapter 1, and verse 4 has this to say. "And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." John the Baptist wasn't just calling a few people to repentance. He was actually calling an entire nation to turn away from their sin. But his message has endured and has echoed right down through corridors of time to us still today. Now, the word sin is not considered very cool or relevant in today's world. But what exactly is sin? I once heard a definition of sin by someone who said that the middle letter in the word sin is the I, the ego. And if it's exaggerated and becomes far more important than anything or anyone else in a way that harmful to others, then this is what sin is. And just like today, as it was then, there were some people who rejected John's message of repentance, and they took offence at his words and began to plot his downfall. Then there were those who watched on from the sidelines and did nothing but pass judgment and criticise, because they believed his message certainly didn't apply to them. But then there were those who listened and responded and came confessing their sins and were baptized because they were humble of heart and obedient to his call, and they found themselves greatly blessed. Verse 5 tells us, "The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River." This next song's called "Down to the River to Pray," and it's sung by Alison Krauss.
"As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on. Let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down
Many years ago now, I attended the baptism of a couple who'd fled their own country because they would have been arrested, perhaps even killed there for becoming Christians. What they desired more than anything else was to be baptized. And their baptism at a local Baptist church was so very moving. To be there and hear their testimonies and see them emerging from the full immersion tank with pure joy on their faces was emotional, to say the least. I also attended the baptism of some dear Iranian friends of mine this the year before last, who were baptized in the freezing waters of the North Sea at Holy Island. And what a day that was. At first it was dull and rain clouds threatened, but by the time they walked down to the water for their baptism, the sun came out and the sky became blue. And what a blessed day that was too. Why is it that there are still those in the world who are offended by the call to repentance and baptism? And how many of us think John's words don't apply to us because we're good enough, thank you very much. But Jesus once preached that many, considered to be sinners by others, will actually enter the kingdom of God before those who see themselves as good. I love our next song, which is like a prayer, really. It says, "To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me. Come forgive me. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now. Lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there." So let's meet with him in this next song called The River, and it's sung by Brian Dirksen.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me. Lord, I need to meet you there. Waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there.
Verse 6 tells us what John the Baptist wore. It says this: John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. I wonder why the gospel writer Mark thought it was important to tell us how John was dressed. Perhaps he thought that the way we dress says a lot about who we are as people. John wore no robes of status signifying priesthood or nobility. He wasn't even dressed as a prophet of old. He wore skins. He ate sparse food, which says really that he was humble and self-effacing, totally focused on his mission. Now there's a kind of spiritual clothing we should wear as followers of Jesus, which is spoken of in the New Testament in Colossians. It says we must put on garments of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. And on top of all these, there must be love. Verse 7 of Mark 1 goes on to say, "And this was John's message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Now John is about to reveal the one who is hope, personified. Like the story of Pandora and her box, the lid is at last opening up, and a rescue mission for the world is about to begin. And the one who would become the antidote to death, darkness and sin is coming as a gift to the world. This word, antidote, stands out vividly today, doesn't it, as a result of the pandemic. We're absolutely pinning all our hopes upon it. The world is longing for such a rescue. John the Baptist pointed to the all-powerful one who was to follow on from him. And he now begins to call him the Lamb of God, the one who will take away the sin of the world. Let's listen to a beautiful hymn sung by Keith Green and written by his wife. It's called There Is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. And leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that home. Thank you, oh my Father.
In the 70s, there were many church posters around which declared, Jesus saves. I remember one person writing below this caption the words, but Best puts in the rebound, referring, of course, to George Best, the best footballer around at that time. And ever since, in my opinion, however, this demonstrated that the church really thought people understood what Jesus saves meant. But the people didn't understand. Well, obviously not everyone. What it means is that as Lamb of God, Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sins. For according to Jewish tradition, only the blood of a perfect lamb could break the curse of death and sin, which came into our world through human disobedience. And the symbolism of the sacrificial lamb is a thread which actually goes right through the Bible. I often wondered as a teacher of history why people during the Great Plague of London painted a large red cross beside their front doors. I used to think it was simply a prayer by the afflicted for God's mercy. But perhaps it was painted there as a prayer by Bible-believing people for God's protection. Because at the time of Moses, when the final plague struck, it came in the form of an angel of death stalking the streets of Egypt. The Hebrews were told that only the blood of a lamb smeared over and around their doorposts could save them and prevent death entering their homes. And so the blood of this dead lamb saved them, and the angel of death did pass over their homes. But even before the time of Moses, when Abraham was about to kill his son as a sin offering, God stopped him and provided a lamb for the sacrifice instead, and the boy was saved. The symbolism continues even further through the Bible, arriving at words uttered by the prophet Isaiah, who told us that one day God's chosen servant would go to his death like a lamb to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before the slaughter, he would not open his mouth. When Jesus, who was without sin himself, eventually became the lamb for the sacrifice and was crucified, his final words of triumph were, "It is accomplished." In other words, it is finished, it is done. God's plan to draw back people to himself through Jesus' sacrifice was complete. Now, by believing in Jesus, we are saved or rescued from the curse of sin, death, and darkness. Here's a song from my album, The Easter Story, called The Crucifixion Song, which ends with the words, "It is finished. I must die." Of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, John tells the people, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." St. Matthew goes even further than Mark and says, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Fire represented cleansing, for when gold is refined in the fire, it melts at a certain heat, and unclean particles then rise to the surface, which can then be scooped off, leaving the metal pure. And where fire is destructive in nature or in the world around us, from the ashes rise something new, rather like the work and the action of the Holy Spirit. Finally, words from verses 9 to 11. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Someone recently wrote, "And so Jesus came to the Jordan, wading into what was now a river polluted with human sin, and he was baptized. He didn't need to be baptized, he was without sin, but he wanted to be identified with us all right from the beginning of his ministry." From then on, Jesus began his walk to the ultimate goal, which was death on the cross. And so by identifying ourselves today with him, believing in him, and walking his way, we walk from darkness into light, and by this token, we can make the world a brighter place to be. Just like Pandora's box, the lid has been lifted. The hope of the world is on offer to every single one of us. We're going to finish our program today with another beautiful hymn, "Lord, for the Years." Its final verse connects well with our theme today, where it says, "Lord, of ourselves in living power remake us, self on the cross and Christ upon the throne. Past put behind us, for the future take us. Lord of our lives, to live for Christ alone. Our song, Lord of the Airs, is sung by the Royal Garrison Church of All Saints, Aldershot. And it's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and from my technician, Andrew Ridgwick.
Bye for now.
Have a good week, everyone. Bye for now.
We pray.